You're listening to Flip This Risk, where it's time for a new conversation about risk management. From the boardroom all the way to the barbershop down the street, you can overcome fear of risk and thrive. Join your host, Dr. Karen Hardy, for candid conversations with industry leaders from across the globe. Let's start the show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Karen Hardy, and welcome to Flip This Risk Podcast, where we interview high achievers about the relationship with risk-taking and how it influences their leadership resiliency. You can find out more, of course, at flipthisriskpodcast.com. And today, I'm very excited to have with us Peggy Winton, who is the president of the Association for Intelligent Information Management, also known as AIM. And AIM is a leading nonprofit association dedicated to nurturing, growing, and supporting the information management community. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you, Karen. It is so good to see you again. And thanks again for joining us recently at our annual conference in Denver. It was so nice to be able to meet you in person.
I totally enjoyed being there and connecting with your community. I mean, they're a great bunch of folks who are really advocating for the information management profession. So tell me about the role of AIM.
Well, thank you. As you said, it's sort of a mouthful what our AIM acronym stands for. And I should let you in on a little secret, Karen. We weren't always the Association for Intelligent Information Management. We have allowed our name to evolve along with the practice, along with the technology. Believe it or not, we were actually born as an association back in 1943. Wow. As the National Micrographics Association. And when you think about it, our charge, our mission has always been about helping organizations manage their most important asset. And we believe, yes, people are important, but information in this day and age is really power. It's really the competitive differentiation. So even back in micrographic days, the idea was to try to eliminate paper, to try to improve information-driven processes. So that's really what we've been doing all along. And you live in the Washington, D.C. area, you know that there's an association for everything.
Absolutely. You name it, there's an association. But I can only imagine that as being president for AIM, you talk about how the name of the association has evolved over time. So being a leader over this community, how have you personally evolved and ready for this moment to lead these caliber of professionals?
I have been really fortunate with a sort of convergence of things that I've done in the past. I wasn't newly hatched or born into this industry that we call information management. But when you think about it, everybody is in information management, whether they know it and whether they like it or not. I believe it or not, I have a marketing background. And when I was newly graduated from university, I put that to the test and had some real interesting experience with international outbound tourism development to Scotland, of all places. So that was such fascinating and interesting work. It led me then to an opportunity at Computer Sciences Corporation. So I do feel very fortunate that it was a convergence of two very big but different sort of experience buckets.
That is awesome. And it's interesting that you mentioned the word convergence a couple of times. How is AIM, how is convergence or AIM experiencing a convergence, given that we've gone through, I don't think we'll ever stop talking about the pandemic and the impacts of the pandemic, even in the post-endemic. Yeah. But in terms of convergence, what is that, the pandemic and other changes we're seeing now, impacting AIM and the industry as a whole?
That is such a fantastic question. And that is a good word. It really is, because many could say that just like when Microsoft SharePoint came on the scene, suddenly our practice of information management became more democratized. It was no longer in the hands of just some select dedicated careerists who were records managers and document managers and governance professionals. And just like what happened in 2020, where most organizations were just caught short without the ability to manage their very vital organizational information. It certainly was not in a format that was accessible for the rush of work from home work. And so we got another big democratizing opportunity to say to the world, this is what we've been talking about for so, so long. And Karen, we're finding that people in typical business functional roles, like HR, like accounts payable, like sales and marketing, like program or product design, like project management, they are doing information management activities. And no, they're not trained to necessarily identify what might constitute a contract or a record or what might constitute an amazing opportunity to extract information, maybe about customers or about products, and leverage that for other activities. And we're excited about that because it's not just IT, and it's definitely not these career trained records and compliance professionals that are making decisions and really driving change within organizations. And it is these business units that are really driving investment and spend in technology today. And I think that's just exciting because the conversations are at a completely different level.
It's interesting because when you talk about democratizing information, now you're bringing people to the table who have something to say about information who otherwise in the past may not have been a part of the conversation. One of the things I did notice is that your industry produced, or your association produced, an industry watch report. And I noticed that one of the terms used in there is digital transformation. There's a lot of information out there, Peggy. What are we transforming into?
It's a mouthful. Try saying it three times.
I know. We should try that three times.
Well, digital transformation is a term that has now been around for 10 years, at least in my world. And Karen, it means so many different things to different people. It also has become maybe a meaningless term for a lot of people. I think there are other people that would hope they would never hear that term again because it has been overused and it's been thrown around. Probably 6 years ago, AIM gathered some of our community members. We're fortunate in that we serve the users or the practitioners in the space. That could be people in financial services and healthcare and government agencies, very much like your experience at the federal level. But it also includes some technologists. It includes suppliers of software and hardware in our space. So we gathered them together and we said, digital transformation means a lot of different things. Why don't we define it in our terms, in information-centric terms, because information is the currency, if you will, that our community deals with. And we did. And one of the things, Karen, that we found is that at the very heart of digital transformation, the very, very heart of this is this need to anticipate and redefine customer experiences. And when we say customer, we mean both external customer and internal customer. And I am so glad that we came to that definition, because it's been a good beacon for us. It's been a good framework for us from which everything else flows. And then you can talk about digital transformation in terms of specific outcomes like process automation, digital and data analytics, information access and knowledge management, getting the information that workers need when they need it, but all for this ultimate goal. And that is to serve the customer better, because the transformation comes, Karen, when organizations can almost reinvent themselves, not only in the products and the services that they provide, but in the way that they make them consumable to their customer base.
You know, I was reading, as I said before, I was reading the AIM Industry Watch report, and there was a statement in there, and I'm gonna read it to you. I just want you to tell me, you know, what are your thoughts about it, especially as it relates to serving customers. There was a statement, I think it was a response, that said that there's a distinct lack of support and understanding of how information management can reduce risk. Is that a challenge or opportunity for the association to address that?
I think it's both, and I'll tell you why. And thank you for bringing that up. For anyone who's listening, Industry Watch is just the name that we give to a regular series of research reports. And these are, this is research that has been conducted among the AIM extended community. So, but when it comes to risk, we have found that the AIM community really perfected that language. Why? Because a lot of our professionals are involved in highly regulated industries where they absolutely have to comply with certain records-related activities. And yet, over the years, we've come to learn that most business executives will almost play the negative lottery when it comes to those things. They're willing to take on risk and fund the risk of non-compliance because they think it may not happen to them, or they think, you know what, we'll ask for forgiveness later. And so what we at AIM have been trying to do for our community is change the conversation about risk. It's not just the risk of non-compliance with regulations that, frankly, the customers don't really care about that. And it's more a risk value balancing equation. How do you identify those sources of information, which of course are now more and more, they're of a different variety, the velocity has way exceeded our ability to manage it, but how do you balance what could really serve as a competitive differentiator with the risk that that might entail? So we're changing the conversations away from just fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which we speak very, very well, and more about opportunity. And why? Because it all goes back to this customer experience aspiration.
So what is one big opportunity that you're facing within the community?
And that's wonderful too. I think just like when Microsoft SharePoint came on the scene and suddenly lay people were dealing with a lot of content of the unstructured kind. And by that, we mean things that are in Word documents, things that might be on spreadsheets, rich media, video, whatever. Everybody in an organization is dealing with that. And yet they don't know what might have value. They also don't know what might need special handling because of a legal reason, even an archival reason. And our job suddenly was to educate a much, much broader base. I think the same has happened now. We already talked about the rush to accommodate remote work at the beginning of 2020, but now there is a focus on individual personal privacy. Mm-hmm. And that is probably a third opportunity for our community and our space. How do you, again, strike this balance between wanting to hang on to everything versus what can legally and from an efficiency perspective be disposed of? And that has even more critical implications for any information that is personally identifying. So there is a lot of attention on that. Mm-hmm. And it does provide an amazing new opportunity, I think, for our industry.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, just to wrap up a little bit, it also talked about how information management would look very different in 2022. Let's just talk about the future. How will information management change? Because everything is changing. You can't get yeah. away with it. What yeah. is it about it today that will look totally different in 5-10 years from now?
I think the boundaries of what we've considered traditional information management, I think those are expanding and blurring. I mentioned earlier, Karen, we've always made this distinction between what is unstructured information and what is structured information. You would know this. Structured information is what most people think of as data that fits tidily into a system or a database. It's got very defined fields, whereas unstructured information could be as we said, in a Word document, something your doctor scribbles on a piece of paper. How do you leverage all of that information? How do you get it into a format that is machine readable? Because that's what can really leverage the power of big data and put it to work for you. But as I had said earlier, there are a lot of individuals in what I would consider kind of horizontal functional or horizontal vertical roles within almost any organization, they are information management folks. And that is so, so exciting because the conversations and the work will move away from, let's say, governance for governance sake and governance for organizational and customer value. Just as you had said earlier, bringing these people to the table elevates the conversation and gets us back to talking about what's the business that we're actually in? What ultimately is our mission? It is not, as some in our industry would have thought, to be compliant with regulations. That's not the business that you're in. You've got to do right. that. That's a cost of doing business. It's a byproduct, but that's not the business that you're in. That's not the purpose. And by talking about information in value terms, as well as risk terms, that's where you elevate and that's where you get creative and really innovative. And back to your digital transformation question at the very beginning, Karen, ultimately, that's what organizations have to focus on. How can they make their customers' lives easier and simpler? It comes down to that.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about, it's quite fascinating to me because there's been a lot of talk about artificial intelligence. And you were talking about how, you know, the information management that you're speaking of is the unstructured information. So it's not set up in a context or construct that can be easily interpreted by AI. So there's a whole set of data, unstructured data out there where all sorts of opportunity and risk, affiliated with it. So you're gonna need professionals to interpret what does that remaining unstructured data mean, or what can it mean to help inform leadership about risk and opportunities as they do their strategic planning?
Do you want to come work for us? That's very well articulated. And you're right. Really, the use of metadata is sort of where the magic happens to do that conversion. And that's something that our community has learned and knows how to do. So I would invite anyone out there, you know, as somebody said, most organizations feel like they're data rich, but they're information poor. And information is what is data in context. And again, that's what drives decision making and real creativity and innovation.
Wow, Peggy, this has been a fascinating and rich conversation I've had with you about information management, the industry moving ahead. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
The pleasure is mine for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, of course. And I want to thank my audience for joining us today on Flip This Risk podcast, Dr. Karen Hardy, and we'll see you next time.
Helping you feel secure is our strategy, all the way from the boardroom to the barbershop down the street. Subscribe at flipthisriskpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.